Hey, Rock, can I ask you something? Can I ask you to please stand, please stand, please stand? Tell the person next to you it's time to move in, it's time to move in. I want you to move in towards the middle, like that. Be a real Christian and, like, make some space. People still want to come in. Move over. Can you do that? Can you move over? Move to the side. Don't be shy. Stay fly. Okay. Why don't you stay standing with me? Let's pray together. How many of you know that this is an amazing weekend because it's the beginning of seeing Pastor Miles take 3 months off? Who's excited for their pastor to get some R&R? Come on. You need to be excited that your pastor's getting some real R&R. He's the hardest working pastor in the world. Would you grab the hand of the person next to you? Let's pray together. I trust that, promise you that they don't have cooties. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for all that you're doing at the Rock Church. Thank you for Pastor Miles and for the ability for him to take time off to rest and recharge and refuel. Today, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will speak to us intuitively and powerfully. We didn't come to hear the voice of a man, but we came to hear from you. So speak to us today. Have your way. We give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, and everybody says, come on, Rock Church, make some noise today. Get excited. You're in church today. So you could find your seat today, and I'm going to be in Luke chapter 10, teaching a message entitled Unleashing the Revolutionary Within You. I really believe this, that the moment a person comes to Jesus, that a revolutionary is birthed on the inside of them. Not someone that wants to cause an economic revolution or a political revolution, but a heart revolution. And I believe the greatest need in America today is for the hearts of men and women to be turned back to God and back to their families. Today we're going to study a story of a man who asked Jesus that quintessential question, how do I get to heaven and who am I supposed to help? And Jesus speaks to him. And I find this to be one of the most interesting conversations in Scripture. And I want you to see it with me in the book of Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. The Bible says, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Someone say, with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, have you ever met someone who just loves to justify themselves? Have you ever been married to someone that just always loved to justify them? Well, the Bible says, anyways, it says, Jesus said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him, departed, and left him half dead. Jesus continues to say in verse 31, now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came, looked, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day he departed. He took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? He said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said to him, as he is saying to the rock today, go and do something, or go and do likewise. This is probably one of the most interesting stories in the New Testament for this reason. First of all, the lawyer of this time was the one who had the intellectual advantage over people. So when he came to Jesus, he goes head to head with Jesus. and asks him these key questions. Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus begins to understand that as a lawyer who has the intellectual advantage both in civil law and also in the spiritual laws of God, instead of going head to head with him, he responds to him by going heart to heart. He says, I'm not going to respond to you the way you want me to. I'm going to speak to your heart. And he begins to break down this story about this man that goes from, you know, La Jolla to Tijuana, or Jerusalem to Jericho. If you've been in Jerusalem and Israel, you know it is pretty much the equivalent. But the point that Jesus is making is this. As this man is going from here to there, he begins to say to this lawyer, he gets beaten up and stripped and left for half dead on the side of the road. And he begins to say, but a certain priest sees him, walks on the other side, the Levite. The moment that Jesus mentioned a priest and a Levite, he started talking about the friends of the lawyer because they were all buddies. And he begins to say, well, you know, your friend, the priest, and you know, their assistant, the Levites, well, when they saw this man who was half dead, they walked on the other side. And then he begins to insult the lawyer by saying, but a certain Samaritan, the moment he said a Samaritan, it was like, hold on, I was with you until you said Samaritan. Those of you that study scripture know that the Samaritan was the half-breed. It was the half-breed Jew that Jews rejected because they were both Jewish but also Gentile. So they had mixed blood. They were of two cultures, two ethnicities. And for a Jew, it was a shame. So Jesus begins to use the Samaritan as the example of the guy who loves this guy back to life with using his oil and wine. And then what happens is something interesting. Jesus begins to reach into his heart and says, now I want you to go and do the same. I really believe that there is a revolutionary inside of Jesus. That when he comes into your life, he causes you to reevaluate your life, reevaluate your values, and he asks you to become part of what he's doing on planet Earth. The reason why Pastor Miles needs to take time off is because of what God has used him to do so far, but what he still needs him to do. The Rock Church is one of the greatest churches in the United States of America, and you have one of the greatest pastors in the United States of America. Yeah, that's right. Come on. Give your pastor a great round of applause. However, with that great privilege to be known as a church that is making the indelible difference in a city comes also the responsibility to become what God needs you to become. You're not done. You haven't seen everything that God wants to do. So what do I need to become? I come as your first speaker of many in his time off to say, I believe God is calling you to unleash the revolutionary on the inside of you. What is a revolutionary? Listen, in your notes, I trust that you all received some notes. Let's look at this working definition. A revolutionary is a person that takes part in a revolution whose aim is to overthrow known systems, present standards, customs, or mindsets by establishing the supremacy of a new precedence that causes dramatic change. Before I explain to you what a revolutionary looks like, let me break this down for you. A revolutionary is a person who overthrows old mindsets, old customs, old habits, and begins to establish what we know as the supremacy of a new precedence, which is the kingdom of God, and begins to establish the kingdom that it causes such dramatic change that people realize someone's changed from the inside out. I really believe more than ever in America today, what we need is a heart revolution. We need people whose hearts have been overthrown of old systems, old standards, old customs, old mentalities, and a heart that has been revolutionized by the Spirit of God, in which the kingdom of God can take root, take place, so that his kingdom can come and his will can be done. Now, how does that happen? That just doesn't happen by osmosis. It just doesn't happen because, you know, as I've pastored my church, Cornerstone, in San Diego, where we've come up on our 15 years, I realized something, that when I started the church, now that the church has taken off and it's taken different shapes and forms, I realized something, that not only did the church have to change, but I had to change as well. I'll never forget, I'm on a mountain praying over the city, and I was all frustrated. We had about 150 people in our church, and I was kicking the dirt all mad. Come on, God, you need to use me. And I was on this mountain praying. How many of you ever had one of those epiphanic moments with God where you're really going to let God know how he needs to run the universe, and he reminds you that he's in charge of the universe? Please don't let me feel like I'm the only one. I'll never forget that. You know, I'm this young pastor ready to take on the world for Jesus. And I'm like, okay, God, you know, I have 150 people. I'm frustrated. How's this thing going to grow? And I'll never forget what God told me. He said, Sergio, you need to stop being the pastor you want to be and start being the pastor the community needs you to be. Hello. Hello. You know, I was born and raised in Santa Barbara, and my wife and I came with our kids, with seven people to start the church. And, you know, we came from a small church. You know, I was just ready to see people come to Jesus. But what I realized is over the years, as the church grew, my heart needed to grow. And as my heart started growing, God needed to change things on the inside of me. But also, God needed to remind me of some things. So today, I'm going to ask you to write three things down today. Take out a pen. If you don't have one, ask the woman next to you for her eyeliner. They all carry them. They all carry them, people. So I want you to write these three things down. Number one, how to unleash the revolutionary within you. Write this down. Revolutionary leaders, number one, they never forget the pain of when they were rescued. A revolutionary leader never forgets the pain of when they were rescued. I really believe that what Jesus wanted the lawyer to see is that it's possible to forget the reason why you've been anointed and appointed. I mean, what do you do when the priest who has been called by God to stand before God and the people doesn't want to help someone that's broken, who's been left kicked to the curb half dead? And so the Bible tells us clearly that not only did the priest go on the other side, but the Levite as well. I'm going to submit this to you. One of the greatest assets you can ascertain as a Christian is a good knowledge of sin. Okay, I guess that didn't go over well here. Down in the hood, that goes over really well. People get all crazy. Yeah, Pastor. You know, one of the things I've realized about most Christians, you drink Christian coffee, you live in Christian homes, you have Christian houses, Christian spouses, Christian kids, Christian dogs, Christian cats, Christian cars, Christian jobs, Christian clothing, Christian friends. That all of a sudden when someone who is broken, stripped, left half dead is in front of you, you're like, ooh, what is that? It's like, oh my goodness, did you see them? Boy, they really need like a come up with. Because sometimes you could forget in your opulence and in your success and in your prosperity and in your accomplishments and in your new titles and in your new positions, you can somehow graduate from caring about people. You can even be in a church like this that says, let's do something and still do nothing. Why? Because you could have a position but lose the passion. If you forget where you came from, if you forget the pain of when you were rescued, you will begin to administer medication to people whose problem you have no idea. You can't write my prescription unless you know my pain. And there are so many people writing prescriptions to people, you have no idea my pain. How can you understand what it is to be stripped, left half dead, priest? If you live in opulence, you get the finest of clothing, the finest income, and yet you think you're going to understand. But see, what Jesus was trying to break down, someone say, break it down, preacher. He was trying to break it down to this guy, like, priest, you're all that, but you've missed something very important. You forgot the pain of when you were rescued. I'll never forget when I got saved. I was 17 years old. Anybody get saved at 17? I just believe 1984 is the greatest year of the world. That's when I got saved. I just think that. I got saved at 17. I was the local DJ in Santa Barbara. I was on my way to sign a 7-year record contract. I got my radio license when I was 15 years old. I got it at UCSB. It was my way of getting out of the gang. My brother started a gang, low riding. They're still doing it today. I got stabbed in my back when I was in 8th grade, gang fighting. I'm not proud of my past. That's just where I came from. And one of the things that helped me is that I got turned on to this guy. guy that was on the radio, and he mentioned just casually that they're taking on people who want to get the radio license. So I went and I did it. And that was the thing that got me out of being in a neighborhood. But one of the things that happens, you know, how many of you know that the devil will take you from one pool to another, but when you're still bound by the devil, you're still bound by the devil. So I went from being violent and gangs to all of a sudden being this DJ. And we were bringing in big bands like Grandmaster Flash, Gap Band, Zapp and Roger. You all don't know those groups at all. Don't even worry about it. And then what people didn't know, I was about to sign this record contract. I'm 17. I'm doing all the proms, all the dances. I had a cocaine problem. And unless you know what it is to have an addiction, it's hard to tell someone, oh, I understand. Well, maybe you're addicted to buying shoes. Okay, I don't know. We're just an addicted culture now. But the point is, I picked up a flyer on the ground one day when I was passing out flyers for my dance. I'll never forget this. I write about it in the book, The Heart Revolution. I picked up a flyer on the ground, and it said, Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Now, I'm a good Catholic boy, guys. I'm going to tell you the truth. I did my first communion in Mexico. ¿Cuántos Latinos tengo aquí hoy? There's always a couple Latins in every crowd. They don't die. They just multiply, those people. They don't die. So here's the point. So I go to this church. I do two things before I go to this church service. I'm a good Catholic boy. I did my first communion. I was an altar boy. Do you know I learned about tithing through my father in the Catholic church? I would party all night doing my dances. I would still show up at the Catholic church and tithe, 8 o'clock mass, and leave. Even though I did an all-nighter, I still gave to Jesus. That's why I'm a good tither as a Christian. How many good tithers do we have here today? Okay. So I go to this church. I do two things before I go to this service. This is my story. I snort a half a gram of cocaine at my house. I get in my car and I pray this prayer. I say, God, if you could change my life, I'll give it to you. How many of you know that when you pray things, God can take you serious? I go to this church service. There's about 45 people in this community center where I hold dances. So I'm like, oh, this is great. A couple weeks ago, I did a dance here. I'm coming to church here. I hear this preacher get up and he is preaching. And he starts talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, I know I've heard about Jesus all my life, but I knew about God, but I never really knew God. And that day, I raised up my hand, came to an altar call, and that day, Jesus Christ changed my life, and I have never forgot the pain of the day when I was rescued. My heart was turned, my life was changed, and I want you to know that has served to be the impetus why I believe today I'm still on fire for Jesus, and I'm not on fire for Jesus because I'm a pastor. I'm not on fire for Jesus because I'm a preacher. I'm on fire for Jesus because Jesus was on fire for me when he died on the cross and rose on the third day and whooped the devil's butt and said, I can have a second chance. Come on, somebody. Come on, Rock. And when you never forget the pain of when he found you, some of you, do you remember the relationship he set you free from? You were in bondage, perhaps in abuse, or maybe you were so full of yourself there wasn't room for anyone else, but thank God he got you on the inside and now you're loving Jesus. Come on, Rock Church, give God praise today. Somebody say, I'll never forget. Number two, write this down. Revolutionary leader, number two, never forgets to allow themselves to be emotionally and spiritually moved by the condition of others. What issue did Jesus have with the priest and the Levite? They weren't moved. There was no compassion. There was no movimiento. That means movement. There was no flow. There was no go. There was no step. There was no passion. There was no love. There was no response. And so Jesus uses the example of a Samaritan. Now, let me remind you this. The Samaritan in this day were a mixed breed. They were the rejects. They were the ones that they didn't know what to do with them. They would try to compartmentalize them, get them away. We don't want you in our community. They were the mixed breed. They were of two natures, two cultures. And so Jesus says, I'm going to raise up a new generation of people, priest. I'm going to raise up a new generation of people, Levite. I'm going to raise up a new generation of people, lawyer, and I'm going to show you that the people who understand my heart, the people that I'm going to use in this new generation, are going to have a Samaritan spirit. They're going to have two cultures in them. They're going to know what it is to be in the world, but they're also going to know what it is to be in church. They're going to know what it is to be lost, but they're also going to know what it is to be found. There is something about the Samaritan generation that I want to speak to you about. The Samaritan generation is the people who know what it is to be out, but now they're in. They're both and. They didn't grow up in church all their life. They didn't have a Bible read to them all their life, but now they're in church, but now they can appreciate what it's like to be out and now in. So when they see people that are hurting at work, they don't just walk on the other side. When they notice on Facebook people that make comments and there's pain in their message, they don't just click to the next post. They make sure to always have a hearing ear and a hearing heart for the lost and the broken, because they're still spiritually moved. They're still emotionally moved. And when they hear it, they can't help but jump in it. Come on, somebody. That's the reason why today in America, and that's why in San Diego, as we see San Diego change and God do great things in our city, it's not going to be because of one church or two churches. It's going to be because those who call on the name of Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior begin to put into action the very thing that God put into them, a deep compassion for the hurting and the lost. The Samaritan generation says, I will get off of my high horse and use my oil and my wine to bring back to life someone who is hurting. The Samaritan generation knows that if it wasn't for the grace of God, they wouldn't even be up in the church. But thank God for a new generation that says, we're going to love people back to life. Come on, where are my revolutionaries in this church? Number three, write this down. If you're going to unleash this person in you, never forget the pain of when you were rescued. Never forget to be moved spiritually and emotionally. And number three, revolutionary leaders never forget to risk their reputation and resources to love people back to life. You know, one of the greatest challenges of a pastor is to know what is in his heart for God, but to see what is in his hand. One of the greatest challenges for a pastor is to know what God has asked him to do, to have it in his mind, to have it in his heart, but to look at his hand and realize, if I could just get what I need in my hand, I could see God do what he's placed in my heart. And what I love about this story is that the Samaritan just didn't get off of his horse to give him oil and wine. How many of you have ever met a Christian who needs to get off of their high horse? But he begins to risk his reputation. How? He takes this guy, puts him on his horse, takes him to the hotel and begins to say to the guy at the Marriott, hey, buddy, you know that I come here often because I do business. You know I have a credit with you here at the Marriott. So would you put him in the president's suite and let him order whatever room service he wants? If he wants a massage, let him get a massage. Whatever this guy needs, because I found him hurt, broken, and lost. And if the charges go beyond what my credit limit is, when I come back, because I am coming back, I will repay you. So the question today is, who is the real Samaritan in the story? By now you've figured it out. Jesus is the Samaritan. He is the one of a mixed breed. He's the one of two cultures. He's the one who is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. He walked in his divinity and his humanity simultaneously. Jesus was the Samaritan, and the hotel is the church. The person in the hotel is the pastors, and he is saying to the church, I'm going to bring you hurting people, and it's going to cost you. But whatever it costs you, Rock Church, to start those new campuses, whatever it costs you to go and do something, when I come back, I will repay you. I'm even going to repay you. Come on, somebody. Come on. So today, Jesus is saying to someone today, if you will open up your heart, I can revolutionize you. But it starts by you looking on the inside and asking that question, Jesus, Do you own my heart? Maybe today my words have failed to communicate what I needed to. I prepared a video for you to watch. And in this video, you're going to see multiple stories. And you're going to see how these stories get changed when every one of them experiences a heart revolution. And I believe the greatest need in the world today is for hearts to be turned and lives to be turned to Jesus. Rock Church, take a look at this video. God bless you. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Today, God wants to know if your heart is ready to be turned, if your life is ready to be changed. And it starts with the decision that you will make. This is a decision that you can only make, not the person next to you. It's you. It's you standing there watching me right now. You sitting there hearing me right now. And God is reaching out to you, and he's saying, if you will give me permission, I will revolutionize your life. Where you will find the purpose for your life. You'll find forgiveness, hope, and healing, restoration. But most importantly, you'll find my son Jesus, who is the hope of your future. And this is going to require you to risk. This is going to require you to risk even your reputation. But know this, God would say, my son already risked his life and he risked his reputation by leaving heaven to earth so that I could take you from earth to heaven. And it starts today by you recognizing your need of God, by saying yes to Jesus. What does that mean? It means saying yes to forgiveness. Yes to a new life. Yes to a new start. Yes to giving God permission to do a miracle in you. And it starts right now, right here, in this place. Right where you are, I want you to look at me. Say, Pastor Sergio, that's me. If you're saying that God will change my life, God will turn my heart, I want in. I want a new life. I want a new start. I want the miracle that you've been talking about. Right where you are, I want you to hold up your hand. Right where you are. Hold it up high so I can see it. Keep it up. God bless you. 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 Hold it up high so I can see it. God bless you. 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 Keep it up high so I can see it. God bless you. 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 I want you to do this right now. Everyone who raised their hand, I want you to stand right where you are. Stand, 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 stand. Take a stand. Take a stand. 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 Stand quickly. Stand quickly. Say, I'm getting up on this. I ain't going to stay back. I'm getting up. I'm not going to be the same. I'm getting up. I need a new heart. I'm getting up. I want to be forgiven. Stand. What are you waiting for? Stand now. Stand. I want you to do this. Remain standing. Remain standing. Remain standing. I want you to do this. I want you to come. I'm going to pray with you right now. Come on. Let's go. Why don't we all stand together? Stand with them today. Come on, give them a big round of applause. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, give them a big round of applause as they come. Come all the way up. Come all the way up. Sir, you know how proud I am of you? You're a miracle. You're a miracle. You're a miracle. You guys are miracles. Come on.